Modern conveniences. Aren't they grand? You're in a hurry, just throw in that TV dinner. You'll have dinner in no time whatsoever. Hey, don't want to wait in a checkout line? Don't worry, you can check out yourself. What are we giving up every time we ask for more innovation and convenience? Perhaps convenience isn't the way to go. Sit back, grab yourself a cup of coffee or whatever it is that you're into. You're listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network. Welcome back, bold Americans, to another episode of America Emboldened. So glad that you're here, start of another week. Now, we're going to talk about modern conveniences and what is the consequence to them. In demanding a more efficient lifestyle, are we actually hurting ourselves? Now, just going back to 15, 20 years ago, think about all the different devices that you needed in your home for media. You would need a VCR or a DVD player. You would need a CD player. You would need a radio. You'd have your computer, your calculator. You would have a video camera, a tape recorder. You would have headphones, all different types of listening speakers. That all now fits directly in your hand, right? The camera is getting improved every single new generation of cell phones, which now replaces the camcorder. You know, your parents used to carry that big blocky thing on their shoulder with that VHS tapes. Eventually those got smaller and smaller. Radios now stream directly through our cell phones, or portable music players. We had the ebook readers, and now that's on our cell phone as well. Calculators can be brought up just within the swipe of a button. Heck, you can even just ask Siri, hey, tell me what 2 + 2 is, and she'll tell you that it's 4. Voice recorders, you can record conversation. You can even record with an app phone calls. You got GPS, you'll never get lost. You always find where you're going. If you're in a hurry to level something, to put up a new picture, your phone becomes a leveler. It also becomes a flashlight. It becomes a scanner. It can become a compass. People play video games on them now. They can do barcode scanning, credit card scanning. You've probably seen people take out their phones and use their local merchant account. USB thumb drives. Now you have storage directly on your phone. You can airdrop it over, right? So it just goes on and on and on. So much so that newspapers are literally going out of business because everybody can just get the news directly on their phone. So we live in a much more convenient world. We can play board games with other people on our phone or by ourselves. There's no more need for landline internet. Now we have everything internet-wise in our home. We have thermostats that are connected to our phones, so when we get home, we can change the thermostat to whatever we want. I'm a musician. I use my phone as a guitar tuner. I now have an app. I can tune my guitar when I want to. I can use it as a light meter, right? I can store credit cards, debit cards. No need to carry around all that stuff when you got things like Apple Pay. So the list just goes on and on and on. That's all modern conveniences. But I just wanted to point out how much the cell phone has replaced for you. Now, what have we given up because of cell phones? Well, if everybody is staring at their phone screens in order to play video games, board games, whatever it may be. I mean, they got Monopoly on the iPad and on the regular cell phone, whether it's an Android device or an Apple device. Well, what are you giving up? You're giving up the opportunity to sit around at a table as a family and converse with one another. If everybody is staring at their screens, then they're not staring at one another. What do you miss? Well, you're literally missing people growing up in your home. You literally miss relationship points. That's not a good thing. That is not a good thing whatsoever. Now, there's also on here, right? I was saying that we can do things such as the newspaper. Now, what's the problem when the newspapers go out of business? Well, when good journalists that once had ethical standards in journalism, right? When those journalists no longer have a place in order to publish their work, we get into a smaller and smaller and smaller spot for all journalism to happen, to the point where we get things without ethics, right? We may find other voices that are out there that replace the voices that we used to hear, because why? Those places can no longer afford to hire people with the Journal of Ethics as their core. Now, if you don't know about ethics in journalism, that's important. Think about this, okay? Let's just do a little sidebar. So every single professional career, right, has standards. So if you are a lawyer, you know that the standard there would be that a lawyer has to maintain confidentiality, right? So professional standards for lawyers are there. If you're a doctor, the professional standard is to do no harm, correct? If you're a teacher, then you should maintain an accurate grade book, an ethical classroom where you're looking out for the best interests of your students and not for yourself. Well, journalism now, we get on our cell phone, right? For convenience, we can read any story on our iPad. The journalist had a code of ethics as well. Their code, the first part was seek truth and report it. Well, what happens when you have a bunch of podcasters and not everybody may want to report and seek the truth? Now, maybe that might be going a little far. Maybe some people want to report the truth, but maybe they don't know how to seek it. They don't know how to find those sources. Well, journalism, you used to go out and you used to find the sources to the best of your ability. I just had somebody write to me the other day, say, I don't think you have one of your facts accurate about Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump. And I said, can you send me the story? Because I am. I do like to seek the truth. Will I get things wrong from time to time? Absolutely. But I do try to follow some ethical standards in presenting these shows to my listening audience. That stated, with convenience and trying to put out things as quickly as possible, I can get things wrong. And journalism used to state that speed was not an excuse for inaccuracy, that they were to take special care not to misrepresent or oversimplify in promoting or previewing or summarizing the story. And we can look at, you know, COVID facts now. Are they misrepresenting in the fact that they're trying to promote or preview or summarize a story? That's a part of the conversation. They were supposed to gather and update and correct information throughout the entire life cycle of a news story. Where's that happening, right? If there's new news coming out now, is that happening on a consistent basis? They were supposed to avoid stereotyping. They were also, a big ethic was to minimize harm, right? They wanted to balance the public's need for information against the potential harm or discomfort. Now, I believe that some people use this now as an excuse not to air stories because they look at, well, what could the blowback be on us giving these facts? And COVID and vaccines is a great example of that. What would the blowback be if all of a sudden news stories were to have tried to say, you know what, we're going to try to balance this need for potential harm with this vaccine? Yeah, sure, we know that there are going to be bad batches. We know there are people that are going to get myocarditis, some other things. But if we were to report that, that might stop people from getting this vaccine, which what we're looking at right now, we feel it's going to be the best shot in order to slow down the spread of COVID. So in this ethical standard of minimizing harm, and in a fast-paced, convenient take, perhaps there was information that was never brought to the public's light. That's why we're seeing things now. Another ethical standard that they had was to be accountable and transparent. Where is accountability and transparency in journalism nowadays? I look at Project Veritas. They seem like they're becoming more and more transparent. They had a checkered past the way they got started, but now they seem like they're doing good work. And they seem like they're being accountable and holding people to accountability standards. All right, so the cell phone as a convenience now spreads information and misinformation, conspiracy theories, at light speed. And journalism is one of the things that a cell phone has eliminated in some respects as far as a newspaper, right? As far as good journalist. Now, another thing I said was that you can now set your thermostat, right? We can set your thermostat with a smart device. So that way it knows, hey, you know what? I've left the house and, you know, I want the temperature to raise because I'm not going to be there. It will save electricity. And now people are asking for that same type of smart electric service from the electric companies to help figure out how much electricity they use in their homes. But do you know what's happening as part of that convenience? Well, now the electric companies that have these smart meters upgraded everywhere can just say, you know what, you're using too much electricity. We're going to shut that down now. We're not going to allow you to use your heat because we need to save, or use your air conditioning because we need to save electric right now. Now, I know what you're thinking, Greg, that's not going to happen, because I've Googled it before where people say, can a smart meter turn off power? And there was a spokesperson for the government, the Department of Business, Energy, Industrial Strategy, that stated, network companies cannot remotely turn off smart meters, nor could they control the amount of energy supplied to homes without the express consent of consumers. That was on September 18th, 2020. However, if we look at a story from just last week, there was a Colorado utility company that locked 22,000 thermostats in 90-degree weather due to an energy emergency. Now, the company, when interviewed, said that these Colorado customers chose to be a part of the program that locked their thermostats. Well, what did they choose to be a part of? Well, if you look at the smart meter benefits on the electric company's website, they wanted to opt in for convenience, detailed energy use information, opportunities to save money. That was a talking point. Outage detection, so that way they could hopefully get an outage detection quicker and get to the cause of it to get power back up and running. Improved customer service, fewer estimated bills, and environmental benefits. Now, environmental benefits is where this whole thing starts in. And they do have a smart meter opt-out in most of these programs, but some do not. Some you're just being forced that, hey, you know what, you're getting electricity from here, so you have to consent to this. But those environmental benefits were to remote meter reading to reduce the number of vehicles and trucks we have on the roads, which in turn helps reduce carbon emissions. And then the other part was smart meters are the key to greater energy efficiency, reducing the need to build power plants and decreasing use of older, less efficient power plants that typically have higher greenhouse gas and other air emissions. Now, what they're not telling you is by opting into this program that you were choosing to be a part of, that we can just lock your thermostat. We can lock your comfort, your standard of life, of what you would like. This is highly troublesome, right? We've looked for convenience, and in this advent of new conveniences of setting our thermostats when we leave, we're now allowing the power companies, the state, oh, you know what, we're just going to take control of your household once you're involved in this. So giving up a little bit of our freedom, right? Was it Ben Franklin? And I'm going to destroy this quote, but those that give up liberty in the search for security deserve neither liberty or freedom, something along those lines. But that's kind of along these lines right here, right? We're giving up control to our thermostat for these smart devices. Now, here's another problem with this. Sure, like these are convenient inventions that help us monitor and save money. But now the electric companies in other states like California are now charging more for electricity during these peak times. And people with these smart meters are getting very large bills because they can now be monitored compared to some of the people that cannot be monitored. And so doing this upgrade is now costing people that use excessive energy, and I'm putting excessive in quotes, you guys just can't see that, that's putting them in an awkward situation. So again, when we ask for a convenience like our thermostat, we may be giving up some of our freedoms as well as our ability to have money. Now, during COVID, there was another convenience that I saw, and this is one that I believe is, I think this has a different motive behind it. And we don't talk about this nearly enough. When you would go to a grocery store, you would go to a fast food restaurant, wherever it may be, a convenience is these kiosks that started popping up that you can just now, you know, use your finger, press what you want, and pay for it right then and there. But next to that was always this sign: due to the national coin shortage, we prefer that you use a card. Due to the national coin shortage. Now, this national coin shortage happened to start at the exact same time that the coronavirus started, really taking hold of our country. Now, why did we have a national coin shortage, right? Well, that story is a little bit more complex than maybe what you know. Again, convenience, use a card. Some people like to carry around cash. They like to carry around money, right? But we're moving people towards a credit card system, a debit card system, maybe even a digital currency system. So you saw these signs. They were posted on entrances to businesses. They were always next to cash registers. And during the height of coronavirus, really, please use exact change due to the nationwide coin shortage. Now, during COVID, businesses and banks, they close during the big days of COVID when everything got shut down. And what they state is this disrupted the circulation of coins because when fewer transactions were out there, fewer coins were changing hands. So most people were just shopping online. And they're stating that as that became a problem, that supply chain issues and workforce shortages made it harder for people to obtain the raw materials to produce more coins. Now, many people believe this. I don't. And this is not me trying to go into a conspiracy theory. I believe that those coins were still sitting in people's homes. Those coins were still available to other people. The supply was already very fairly distributed from decade after decade. I mean, who doesn't have change sitting around their home? Coinstar machines, right? They used to take money from you in order to process all your coins. But you'd see people go to the store. They'd take those buckets of coins. They'd get sorted and then go to the bank and they'd pay you out for the loose change you had in your homes. So I really have a hard time believing that we did not have enough coins. As a matter of fact, in 2020, the mints produced 14.8 billion coins, which was a 24% increase from 2019. Where did that 24% increase, those 14.8 billion coins, go? Well, I can tell you where they went. They're still in circulation. Maybe they're being held by some people. But the big problem is that they want you to accept the convenience of not carrying cash. They want you to accept the convenience of not having coins. Because once you accept that, you've got to go to a digital currency. And what's the problem with the digital currency as a convenience? We're going to talk about that in just a few moments. But speaking about, you know, how you can protect yourself from this stuff, all right? If you want to protect yourself from the incoming digital currency, you want to make sure that you are sound financially. It's not about having some of those 23% rise of coins in your pocket. Nope, not at all. The best way you can protect yourself, and what's the come right now, is to go to OurGoldGuy.com. Now, if you've never been to OurGoldGuy.com, I'm sending you now. This is where you can get information about what's going on in the economy, the finance world, the business world, and you can purchase precious metals. And so if you go to OurGoldGuy.com, you can click on my name, Greg Bolden. I'll ask you how you heard about us. Now, you don't have to purchase anything. Just go there, get information, find out how to protect your family. It's a family-owned business, Our Gold Guy. Ira is over there. Great guy. Just schedule your consultation. See if purchasing some precious metals makes sense to you before we go here. We'll be right back in just a few moments. You are listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.
How the spirit of American liberty and justice is woven into the soul of America Out Loud. Now we invite you, friends, to invest some of your time with our magnificent family of experts, their minds and voices. It's all back at AmericaOutLoud.com. Liberty and justice for all.
You already know Genesis plus HOCL is your best defense against viruses. But did you also know it's the most powerful weapon for eliminating airborne mold too? Customers are raving about the Genesis Fogger's ability to tackle mold problems and the bad smells that go with them. And we all know mold is a hazard to your health. There's no airborne invader that Genesis can't handle. Visit genesisfogger.com/outloud to receive a 15% discount on the Genesis Fogger with promo code OUTLOUD. With Genesis, you're ready for anything.
All right, you've all heard Malcolm and the great Dr. Peter McCullough talk about the povidone iodine-based nasal spray Cofix RX. They talk about it because it's a product that actually works in combating colds, flus, and coronaviruses. Cofix is made in the USA and recommended by thousands of doctors and pharmacists nationwide. It's simple. By attacking viruses where they incubate, you make it easier for your body to heal. Check out the Cofix RX banner ad on AmericaOutLoud.com and save 20% by using promo code OUTLOUD.
Welcome back, Bold Americans. We're talking about conveniences and what we have to give up. And just before the break, I told you we're going to talk about digital currency and why this is a very bad thing as far as convenience goes for our safety. But before I do that, you've probably heard the advertisement that's a little bit earlier, but I actually own a Genesis Fogger HOCL. And that is a great convenience. And I just want to say, just for my listeners one time here, that if you get this machine, it's a great way to clean your air of viruses, bacteria, as well as mold, and do so in a safe way. It's safe to your children, safe to your pets. And I personally have really enjoyed this product. I'm taking it not just for my home now, I'm taking it into work, doing my classroom to help keep myself and my students safe and healthy. So go to the genesisfogger.com/outloud, and you can get a 15% discount on your order. And so I'm sending you there. I'm behind that. All right. So conveniences, talking about digital currency and why I think this is the convenience that we're all blind to right now, that we need to start getting mad as hell about. Now, you can go on to Google or DuckDuckGo or whatever you're using as a search engine and type in MasterCard carbon calculators. Now, this is not something that's just limited to MasterCard. It's also Visa, American Express. All of these companies have it, and all the big banks are using it. Discover, Chase, straight on through all your big branch banks. But they now are tracking every time you use a MasterCard, Visa, American Express, whatever it is, they track your carbon emissions, your carbon calculator. And they have an app where you can see your carbon footprint. Now, here's the problem. And this might sound very Orwellian, 1984. And I know people are be like, but they won't do that to us. Well, guess what? They do it to other people in the world. What if you've purchased plane tickets multiple times in a month? Well, your carbon emissions are going to show your CO2 is very high. They have the ability, they don't do this yet, but they have the ability with this convenience of saying, you know what, Greg, you purchased your plane ticket already. You've been traveling too much. We're not going to allow you to finance that with our card. You know what, Greg, you've had too much fast food this month, and we're worried about your health because your health could be a threat to our overall healthcare system. So therefore, no more fast food or junk food for you. You know what? You've seen too many movies. You've been going out a lot. Stay home and watch some at home. You can't use your digital currency for this. And I know that you're saying, well, that sounds like an absolutely crackpot thing, Greg. There's no way in the world that they would do this, except this is exactly what I was told when I was talking to Joel Mark Gavage on an episode maybe like 3-4 weeks ago, almost a month ago, where he was talking about the social credit score system that's already in China. We already see that this is a thing where people are told they can't purchase things based upon their former purchases. That's what I want you to pay attention to. This is a convenience that people are going to state, and you heard from the uneducated economist on my show. He said that one of the ways they will try to get people to embrace digital currency, this blockchain currency that was based on crypto that you hear now, but it will probably be called something much sexier by the time it makes it to the American public. They will take this currency and offer you negative interest rates in order to get all of your cash back from you, right? So that was the uneducated economist, coupled with Joel Mar Gavage, guy who's a leading thought tank, think tank within this world, right? So conveniences that we can carry around an app and see what our footprint is. And in a world that really cares about, you know, global warming and, giving back to Mother Nature, making sure we take care of our earth. You know, you got to be a good person. You got to have that app. All right. So that's a convenience of, you know, where I see things going in the future. And I think it's dangerous. I personally don't want to sign up for things that are tracking everything I purchase, everybody who pays me. But look at the Biden administration. The Biden administration just took things like Cash App and Venmo, and now all of your transactions are being sent to the government so all of the IRS can see everything that you've purchased. That's right. Somebody wants to send you $50 just for being a good person. Well, guess what? You're going to be taxed once you hit a certain amount on that $50 and the subsequent $50. You know, you're running a fantasy football league with really good friends doing no harm to anybody else. Eventually, the government may know that you're doing this. It's just a complete overreach where, for convenience, we're giving up privacy. Now, one of my pet peeves of conveniences is what's going on in the grocery stores. And I blame people that don't understand economics for this. You probably remember Bernie Sanders, right? Bernie saying, we've got to have a just minimum wage. We've got to raise the minimum wage throughout the United States. And you heard the employer state, if you raise the minimum wage, we're going to have to eliminate jobs. And the left told you, oh, no jobs are going to be lost from this. That's not a thing, right? This is a fear tactic that conservatives are using to try to make sure that you vote for them this election. And this is the conversation back 2016, 2018, and again in 2020 that they used in order to make sure that they push that narrative. We've got to have a higher minimum wage. Now, what they should have demanded was a just wage. People should, this is a libertarian principle too. All right. I like to point that out when I say that, because as the third most popular party in the United States, it doesn't nearly get the recognition that it deserves. But when people demand a just wage, we actually find that we have a healthier work environment. When people advocate for themselves instead of just saying, you know what, I'm going to continue the work for this $9.50 an hour. When we demand, hey, you know what, this work is worth $15 and I can show you how it's worth that, how your bottom line is going to increase, that helps. But if your job can be done by a robot, it's probably not healthy to ask for a higher minimum wage, because the companies will take that short-term long expense, the high expense short-term, because over the life of them using it, they will save money. So buying these automated systems in all of the grocery stores have eliminated jobs. You see it now when you look at the cashiers. I remember the days of growing up where lanes 1 through 21 were all cashiers and baggers putting your food in and getting you ready back into your cart. Now, you're lucky if you have four people in the average supermarket as a cashier helping people. And they're asking you, the consumer, to do all the scanning and do the job somebody used to get paid for, to look up the codes for the fruits and vegetables and to press a call button if you can't find the code for them to come over and to type in for you. And as a result, we now have longer lines and a longer experience at most grocery stores. Now, BJ's is a club. So there's Costco, BJ's, Sam's Club, etc. I can only speak for BJ's. I don't think Costco has done this yet. But I just found out that BJ's allows me to scan on my phone what I'm purchasing and just skip the line. And I like that. That's actually a convenience that I thought was pretty cool. You know, I can pay for everything right on the app in my phone and walk out the door. And I see that there are stores now that are going to have cameras that when you walk in, it knows who you are. And Walmart's one of these places that's already getting the infrastructure. When you walk into a Walmart, there is so much information about you. They see your face. They ID you. They know what your socioeconomic status is. You go up to the cashier. They got you on camera again there. They link your credit cards or your debit cards, whatever you use, and they build a profile off you each time you're there. If you didn't know this, it's a convenience that is coming at a cost. There's a consumer profile being built around every single person who is a consumer in the world. And so Walmart's one of those companies. But anyway, BJ's has a system that actually is convenient. But back to the grocery stores. People are losing jobs. McDonald's, right? There's now robots who can accurately cook a burger, flip French fries, put all these things in place. It is very possible that you might only need 2 to 3 people in the future that work at a fast food restaurant like McDonald's or Burger King, and all of your food would be just the same way. You'd go up to the drive-thru, you'd make your order, right? Or you use your cell phone. They're trying to do that too. You might have seen that McDonald's now when you pull up. Do you want to use the express order with your cell phone? No, I don't. And I'm not promoting McDonald's by any means. I just, you know, my son sometimes is like, Dad, can you take me for a French fries? And hey, who doesn't like the French fries, right? So I'll take them. But, you know, they always ask this question. I'm like, who's doing this? But it's a way of convenience that is going to cost people jobs. There will be no, you know, 20 people working on a staff when it can be done by 3 or 4. It's all going to be about efficiency in the terms of convenience. Now, one of the grocery stores that I shop at actually has a police officer that's full-time staffed, making sure people don't steal things because now they don't have cashiers to see things coming out. And what a horribly misplaced use of a resource, but to hire a police officer, an on-duty police officer, right? Maybe that's not the regularly scheduled hours, but getting paid a premium in order to watch that as a feature. I think that's just sad that that's where we are at this point in time. But again, when we ask for these conveniences, they have consequences. We wanted the convenience of microwave meals, right? I'll never forget the first time, you know, I had my first TV dinner turkey. And my parents going, isn't this great? It's awesome. And it was like that, like the warm apple, whatever it was, cinnamon dessert with the TV dinner. I thought it was so cool. But what I wasn't realizing as a child, as a 12-year-old having this meal, is that it was going to have a horrible health impact if that was to be my meal on a consistent basis. And we sold these Swanson TV dinners, Weight Watcher dinners, and all these things that were microwaved. And we later found out that the actual sodium content in many of these meals, or the processed content, could have a negative health impact on all of us. And that's not to mention like melting plastics of like the 1990s, in the early 2000s into our food, you know, putting saran wrap over food to reheat it faster. And then we realized we were harming ourselves with carcinogens. But you know what? It was all in the name of convenience. Now, let's switch to the event that we memorialized just yesterday. Yesterday was the 21st anniversary of 9/11. And I said to my wife that I was kind of surprised. I guess it's 20 years is the life cycle before we stop doing big things, right? We stop doing the pomp and circumstance of celebrating people's lives on September 11th. It becomes more reclusive and less in people's faces. And perhaps I should have known this because when we talked about Pearl Harbor growing up, you know, that wasn't something that ever affected me. I wasn't born at that point in time. And so it just wasn't as important. Certainly I understood the gravity and weight of it, but it was nothing that I felt the need to memorialize on my own. And that might sound completely ignorant to my listeners, but if you can understand, if you weren't born for something, you're not tied to it. September 11th is different for me. I still remember getting a phone call from a good friend of mine, that a person that we had gone to school with was working at the World Trade Center, and nobody had heard from him. And later learning that he died after one of the planes had crashed in. He worked at Cantor Fitzgerald. Now, I went down to the Ground Zero site, the memorial site, just about 5-6 years ago. I was working up on an off-Broadway musical, and I had the opportunity to go down there, and I kind of stayed away from it because it was a very painful memory for me. It really, I always say that's the day that I feel that I lost my innocence. I was 22 years old when that happened, and it just, my world was completely rocked. So I go down there, and to be quite honest, I was bawling my eyes out. I was crying. I found Dan's name, Dan Gallagher, on the wall, and I'm reading it, and I got the piece of paper so I could trace over it so I could get his name there. And some people walked up to me and said, who did you know? And I said, well, I went to school with Dan here. And he goes, oh, well, my husband was good friends with Dan. I said, well, how do you know that? I said, well, Cantor Fitzgerald, when the people had perished, they reconnected emails to find out who went out with who for happy hours, who was on whose team. And all of these names here are connected near the clusters. So that way you would be near a name of somebody that you directly knew. And that just blew me away. I thought that was amazing. So September 11th, and we're talking about conveniences, right? And what do we give up? Well, I realized that we lost a lot of conveniences that day and each day after. The convenience that we had pre-September 11th, 2001, was that, you know, that our nation didn't seem to be a nation that was perpetually at war with the rest of the world. We didn't feel touchable from terrorism. Sure, there were things that happened like Waco and other stuff that domestic terrorism, the Oklahoma City bombing, but this was just a moment of, you know, horrible evil that changed the entire world. The convenience of not having to worry about terrorism seemed to disappear. And what did the government do to make our lives more convenient on top of that? Well, within just 6 weeks, they were able to roll out the Patriot Act. I think it was like October 24th, the Patriot Act came out in 2001. So yeah, 6 weeks afterwards, yeah, I just want to check my sources here. The people's rights were forever changed in the United States. We had xenophobia like you couldn't believe. If you were a Muslim or you wore a hijab, all of a sudden you were being discriminated against, even if you were American and lived in this country for years, right? And Congress passed the Patriot Act. And doesn't that sound like such like a nice name, an American name? They passed this, but it was actually what many people find, that they were bullied into it by the Bush administration because they used fear and a scare tactic to say, we need this. We need this so we have the convenience of being able to spy in four different areas. And so the conveniences that we all gave up and our Congress willfully did, and they re-upped this in 2006, was record searches. So it expanded the government's ability to look at records on individual activity held by third parties. So you Google search something, right? You're doing a search engine. Now the government has the ability to look at those records. That's since expanded to your cell phone, the convenience of your cell phone. The government can find whatever they want. They can also do secret searches. It expanded their ability to search private property without notice to the owner. This was in Section 213. It also had intelligence searches. The Patriot Act expanded the narrow exception to the Fourth Amendment that was created for the collection of foreign intelligence information, Section 218. And then trap and trace searches. Also a Fourth Amendment exception for spying that collected addressing information about the origin and destination of communications as opposed to the content in Section 214. So this resulted in what was called unchecked government power. All right. When you have unchecked government power, they can rifle through your financial records, your medical history, your internet usage, your bookstore purchases, your library usage, travel patterns, or any other activity that might leave a record. And yet people accepted this Patriot Act because they said, well, if I'm not doing anything wrong, what do I have to worry about? Well, that's the convenience mindset, right? The convenience mindset is, well, I just want things to be as convenient as possible for me so I don't have to worry about anything. But you're not understanding that you yourself could wind up entrapped in something very bad because of this. And as a result, you're also giving up some of your rights and rights that were very important to your freedom and liberty and security, your own self-security. And so we bit off our nose in spite of our face, and this is not a good thing. And so the Patriot Act has since been re-upped. And I thought that since, you know, September 11th just passed, it's important that if I'm doing a show on conveniences and the dangers of them, that we recognize this as a clear danger. Another convenience that we're going to have in the future is self-driving cars. Imagine what happens with your self-driving car when all of a sudden your car just doesn't drive you where you want to go and they've removed your steering wheel. Now, this may be decades into the future, but again, it's about conveniences and what's the cost that you're willing to give up in order to have some. We see in California, they want to push electric cars, right? And it's the convenience that now when there is an energy emergency, no one can charge their electric car, which might mean that some people can't go where they want to go. It's pretty scary that that's where we are. So some modern conveniences that are out there. Just going to kind of go through, right? Anyone ever realize that the American diet is one of the modern conveniences of nutrition to prevent obesity and diabetes? Now, this was developed as a dietary practice for people to kind of understand this is what needs to be ate in order to maintain decent health. However, now we're learning some of this stuff was a convenience that now may be bad for us. When we look at some of these grains, when we look at overconsumption of dairy, especially the type of dairy that we're having. So that's another prop. If you got a filling to stop a cavity, we now know that some of these silver fillings that they were putting in back in the 80s and 90s were 50% mercury and were poisoning people. So now there's safer filling materials now available, but that was a convenience. Teflon, you probably remember Teflon, right? Non-stick to be able to cook. What were we doing, though? It was a carcinogen. We were giving people cancer. Talked about microwaves and how the food, right, could be destroyed, the nutrients when you use a microwave. You're not going to get the full effect of the vitamins in your mouth, in your stomach. Cell phones. Now, cell phones, I just went over a ton of it. But have you ever thought about your cell phone as being unsafe? A lot of people don't realize that they're actually radiating their body. I teach audio, radio, video engineering for my day job at a school. I always start off by telling everybody, go to your screen, the general screen, go down to the legal and regulatory, and then go to RF exposure and find out how safe your iPhone or Android device is or is not to you when held against your body for long periods of time. Cell phones are radiating us. Right? That's cell phone towers. They do have health risks to them. But because it's become such a modern convenience, we don't have that conversation. Styrofoam. Styrofoam was great for keeping things cold or warm. But now we understand that, hey, you know what? It doesn't really break down too well in our landfills. And also, every single human body now has styrene found in them because we've consumed it so much. It's in our blood. We had leaded fuel, right? And that was a public health threat, and that was removed from the country. We've had plastics, right? Now we have BPA-free plastics, but plastics now are in almost everything that we consume. When we go to drink water, you are drinking microplastics. There's no way around it at this point. I mean, there's a couple ways, but not really. We got growth hormones in all of our food, our milk, and we're wondering why children are developing the way that they're developing. We got genetically modified foods, overuse of antibiotics. These were all conveniences, right? Margarine. Can't believe it's not butter. Well, margarine is no safer, right? And it also stops the absorption of vitamins, which butter actually allowed us to do. High fructose corn syrups and everything, but hey, that was a convenience to get everything nice and sweet. Partially hydrated oil, same thing, it was all conveniences. What we find is, as we go to a more convenient world, we often are finding ourselves in a world that will kill us quicker. And so, whether it's going to be a digital currency, whether it's going to be our energy consumption and everything else, or whether it's the food that we eat, when you go for convenience and speed, you are going to give up your healthy lifestyle and your nutrition and well-being over time. We've got to demand better into the future. We need to take care of ourselves. Sure, convenience is a wonderful thing that's brought us innovation after innovation to make the world just a little bit more hospitable. That all stated, not every convenience is one that you should want to sign up for. And whether that may be how you saw a convenience to be able to re-enter society just a couple years ago, or if that's going to be a convenience on whether or not to get that negative interest rate, we're in dangerous times moving forward, And for that, we all need to work together, and we all need podcasts like this and others that you're listening to make sure that the journalism and that the stories are being told so we can best move forward. One initiative that I know you can take is Cash Fridays. There's been a huge thing that you'll see on Twitter whenever it's Friday. Only use cash. I will tell my listeners, I support that. Try to only use cash on Fridays. No debit cards, no credit cards. You can help restore the use of money, physical money, in our economy. That's all I have for you today. I appreciate everybody sticking with me. They got plenty of other things you can listen to. I hope that I gave you some food for thought today to think about. I'll be back again tomorrow. You've been listening to America Emboldened with Greg Bolden on the America Out Loud Network.